off and rolling on this Monday. So happy to have you along for the ride. Welcome into the show. 615-737-1045 is how you can get in on the conversation. 615-737-1045 is the number that you dial. Remember, comedian Josh Black, who is advocating to be the Titans' voice of the fan. He has already achieved this with the Nashville Soccer Club. He's a regular feature there. And I saw Jayon Brown at the front of, is it the front of the back line? Is that correct?
I guess so. It was quite a night for NSC.
Yeah, look at them.
Sitting second in the Eastern Conference at the moment.
We got many tweets about all the people that we sent to the Nashville SC game and how we are changing changing the dialogue about soccer, Lucas. Does that make you happy?
Oh, it makes me thrilled. Yeah, so happy. Upset I couldn't be there on Saturday because it did look like quite a night against a regional rival. But things are looking up for Nashville Soccer Club.
For every nice tweet that we get about soccer and the conversations that we have about soccer on this show, I get five DMs on my Instagram account telling me to tell Lucas to shut the hell up about soccer.
Don't care.
Victory. 615-737-1045. I want to talk about USA basketball being in shambles here in just a second. But I want to get into what the hell the Texans are doing with Deshaun Watson. Like, Ian Rappaport, why don't we just set it up this way? Ian Rappaport of the NFL Network went on television yesterday and was talking about, well, I guess it was this morning even, went on Good Morning Football this morning talking about the Texans are now open to trading Deshaun Watson. Huh, I wonder why. What are they asking for him, Ian?
Yeah, a new development in the situation surrounding Texans quarterback Deshaun Watson. According to colleague Tom Pelissero and myself, the Texans are now willing to listen to trade offers for Deshaun Watson. And this has been very quietly going on for some time, but it is now, I would say, a little more out in the open. And the fact that the Houston Texans and Deshaun Watson did have a meeting yesterday, he was, as Pelissero notes, very respectful but clear that he does want to be traded and has no plans to play in Houston. The team is now willing to at least receive and return phone calls to discuss a potential mega deal involving Watson. So, guys, what would it take? It would take 3 first-round picks and more, which, of course, you're talking about a star quarterback in the NFL. Obviously, the off-the-field issues, but a star quarterback in the NFL in his prime could play 12 or 15 more years. The price is high. It should be high. And now we will see where the Deshaun Watson saga goes from here.
3 first-round picks and then some? Are they out of their damn minds? Is this just like a Hail Mary? Like, are they just saying, yeah, you know what, we'll trade him, but it's going to cost X, Y, and Z? They can't be serious. Deshaun Watson, as you just heard from sports attorney Dan Lust, who was on with us in the first hour, a great interview. If you want the legal side of things in a way that's easy to consume, I highly recommend you check out the podcast of the first hour and really of all of our hours because I think we do a great job in general. But certainly the first hour today with Dan Lust, the sports attorney who went through this process with us. Why would a general manager look at this situation and say, yeah, you know what I'm going to do for a depreciating asset that's mired in legal controversy and alleged sexual assault? I'm going to throw 3 first-round picks and then some at the situation because maybe he can throw for 300 yards in a game for me next year.
But would we be reacting like this if it wasn't for the multiple pending sexual assault lawsuits?
What do you mean?
I mean, would we having this visceral reaction about Deshaun Watson demanding a trade, say there's no legal issues whatsoever, and the Texans demand 3 first-round picks?
Well, no, but you can't have the conversation without talking about the sexual assault allegations.
Right, but I'm saying that is the reason, right? That is the reason that it's a ridiculous ask because of everything hanging over his head.
Yeah, no. I'm not saying the price. I don't care about the price for Deshaun Watson. That's not the conversation I'm having. I'm saying who is going to look at a quarterback mired in sexual assault controversy, alleged sexual assault controversy, and say, yeah, 3 first-round picks. No problem. Oh, you want a third too? We got you. No, you can't have the conversation about the compensation without talking about the legal issues that he's swamped by at this point.
Still under investigation from the NFL too. I mean,
well, yeah, but what does that mean?
Nobody knows.
What do I care about what the NFL has to say about sexual assault? Because they've done such a great job handling these things on their own. Remember when Roger Goodell was going to be the commissioner of law and order? Roger Goodell, after the Ray Rice situation, is going to take sexual assault and domestic violence into his own hands. The league will handle this. No. Idiots. You got to be kidding me. The United States justice system can't really figure out how to handle domestic violence and sexual assault properly. But no, the NFL is going to figure it out. It is one of the dumbest things that the NFL has tried to do. And now since then, they've backed off substantially their position on handling these things in-house, even though they do retain the right to do things like the commissioner exempt list, which has put these players on paid leave to get them off of national television where they cannot shame the league and the shield any further. But then there's Aaron Rodgers, right? Because the tweet, anytime we talk about the NFL offseason, the conversation is always going to go back to the quarterbacks. As I look up at ESPN right now, they are in-depth detail on SportsCenter talking about Packers training camp beginning Wednesday and whether Aaron Rodgers is going to report. Adam Schefter tweeted this out this morning as well. Packers president Mark Murphy and general manager Brian Gutekunst, who has one of the funniest last names in all of football, Brian Gutekunst, are scheduled to address the annual meeting of shareholders today at 11 a.m. in Green Bay at Lambeau Field. So imagine being these two slubs who have pissed off the most important player. I mean, maybe not in their history, because the history of the Green Bay Packers is a long and storied one, but probably the best quarterback that's ever played for them. You're getting in front of your shareholders, which are fans, because Green Bay does things differently, and you're getting ready to have what amounts to a stockholder meeting and saying that you're going to have to explain to them why your most profitable branch of that particular company is not just depreciating, but outright bleeding. Because it's not like the Watson situation. Watson wants to play football. I mean, I don't know that Aaron Rodgers doesn't want to play football, but I know Aaron Rodgers is prepared to sit out. I know that Aaron Rodgers is saying it's not about the money in a sport where it's always about the money. This was the reporting from Ian Rappaport earlier today on Good Morning Football about where the Packers sit with Aaron Rodgers. While Lucas grabs that.
A couple things to discuss at this annual Packers shareholder meeting. Let's start with Aaron Rodgers. We've known really for several months that he is upset, disgruntled, frustrated with the organization, views a lack of trust, wants to be more involved in personnel decisions, and or at least not have them release some of his favorite guys a day after he mentioned them, as happened with Jay Kumerow last year. So Rodgers is not happy, and of course, we've known really for several months that the Packers offered him a massive contract extension, which he then turned down. Start to figure out, start to wonder, is there a middle ground there? Can the Packers do something with Rodgers contractually to give him a little more money this year and give him significant say over his future after this year? Obviously, plenty of middle ground there. We'll see if the Packers can do something to get Rodgers to show up. Meanwhile, Devontae Adams, his star receiver, frustrated with the Packers as well. Those two sides broke off long-term contract negotiations that have been going on really for the last several months. They are nowhere. Adams is frustrated, and obviously his status is going to be one to watch going forward. And then you mentioned it. Well, something we've been discussing all morning. Deshaun Watson, the star quarterback for the Houston Texans, reported yesterday, did have a meeting with some members of the Houston Texans brass, reiterated the fact that he does not intend to play for Houston, that he does want to get traded, and his colleague Tom Pelissero and I reported this morning, the Texans are now open to soliciting offers, to listening offers on Deshaun Watson. It's going to take a lot. It's going to take at least three first-rounders, but now finally they're listening.
Rap sheet on Good Morning Football this morning, going through all manner of different conversations. Here's the thing that stands out about the Aaron Rodgers situation. So what he said there basically is if Green Bay offered him more money this year and then gave him more say over his 2022 situation, like, you know, Tom Brady did, then perhaps they could find a solution. But that neglects the fact that Rodgers has already turned down more money from Green Bay. It is the rare situation where the quarterback, where the player has the ability to say, no, bleep off with your $22 million. I don't need it. I'm Aaron bleeping Rodgers. I don't need your money. I'm not worried about your money. You have disrespected me in a way that I feel is irreconcilable. And now I'm going to make you pay in the only way that I can, which is not providing your football team with wins and touchdowns and playoff appearances. Kick rocks. I know a lot of people are looking at Aaron Rodgers like a diva, and if you're a Green Bay Packers fan, you're probably pissed off at him at this point because you don't really care about Aaron Rodgers. You care about what Aaron Rodgers can do for your team. You care that Aaron Rodgers wins football games for your team, not actually about Aaron Rodgers. But I love what he is doing. I love the way that he's handled it because he hadn't made a mess publicly. He really hasn't. Adam Schefter's been doing it for the Rodgers side of things. Aaron Rodgers has been very diplomatic every time he's been asked about this, whether he's in front of a microphone at a golf tournament or at the Kentucky Derby, where the racing correspondent had no intention of asking him about the situation with the Green Bay Packers. One of the funniest interviews I've ever seen. But Aaron Rodgers is doing the thing that I wish more athletes were doing, and I wish more athletes were in a position to do, which is say, double middle finger, boys. I'm not playing ball for you this year. Literally or metaphorically speaking. We're going to talk about something that is beyond repair. Not Aaron Rodgers' relationship with the Green Bay Packers. Not Deshaun Watson and his situation that appears to be starting to heat back up after several weeks of laying low. We're going to talk about the disaster that is the United States Olympic team. Not just the basketball, but every sport that I was able to find this weekend, and it was tough to find them, wildly disappointed me. We'll do that with comedian Josh Black coming up next, and some Gardner Minshew slander as well. Titans fans will enjoy that before our Titans training camp preview begins in the noon hour. Stick around. I'm Buck Rising. This is 104.5 The Zone. Man, I don't know if this is the way that Josh Black gets down. I don't know if there's going to be any super freak going on at Zany's on Wednesday night, but you know that the people are going to bring it for this all-female comedian show that Josh Black is hosting, the latest installment of Comedy for the Culture. Josh Black joins us in studio right now. Lucas, is his microphone on? Can I talk to him, or am I going to get pissed at you?
Mic check. Oh, I'm here.
We'd love to see it.
I sound good.
What's going on, big dog?
I'm in the studio. I broke in.
Yeah.
Your bosses didn't want me here. I've tied them up. So I'll be arrested later, but I'm here. You know what I mean?
We're Let's good. Squeeze everything we can out.
Yeah, for sure. We'll get there before the police get here, so.
Yeah.
How y'all doing, man?
Man, we're doing great. It's good to see you in person.
Yeah, I know.
This is a much better dynamic than doing it over.
Speaking of, I'm not short, people. Every time I go up to people, they're like, yo, you're so tall. And I'm like, what do you think? They're like, I thought you were like 5'5". I don't know if I should take that as disrespect.
Is that like what are they doing there? Like, are they attributing just because they know one black comedian, now they're assuming that you are the same size as Kevin Hart?
You know
Hart?
What? I didn't even know to play the race card right there. Thank you. I will use that. I will use a draw for a race card. You think you because I'm a comedian like Kevin Hart, you think we're all short? That's probably what it is, man.
Uno, mother bleeper.
But in their defense, though, I have a small torso.
Yeah,
I'm all legs, bro.
You're one of those.
Yeah, so if I sit next to a child, we looking eye to eye.
Yeah.
But if I stand up, you know what I mean? It's like me and Shaq are looking eye to eye.
No, it's one of those things like where you go to church. I was a Catholic wedding on Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm fair. I am of above average height,
yeah.
I would say.
Are you passing 6 foot? What are you?
I'm 6'2".
Oh, yeah, you're tall.
6'3 in heels. But you kneel down in the pew as good Catholics do, and then you're immediately shorter than the people standing next to you.
Right.
It's a little bit emasculating.
Yeah,
I don't know why it's like that.
It is.
But you've got Derrick Henry syndrome.
Yeah.
Because Derrick Henry has the smallest torso of any giant human being I've ever seen in my life.
Wow.
Look at his physically outside of, you know, the giant muscles.
Right.
That Derrick Henry
and
has
the long limbs.
Look at the legs on Derrick Henry compared to the size of the torso.
Wow.
And tell me that is not the most disjointed thing that you've ever seen.
It's like we're more marginalized as small torso individuals. You know, a lot of people don't put respect on us, including you now. And it's like, we come a long way, bro. He went pro, and he's making it a way so I can now go pro in my field.
Yes.
You know, so I need people to stop coming up to me saying, hey, we thought you were short. I'm going to take that as, that's racism. You know what I mean? That's what it is. Even if you're black. If you're black and you say, I thought you were short, I'm going to take that as racism and take your black card. So that's, you know, that's just something to think about.
We don't discriminate. We do not discriminate.
Yes. When it comes to small torsos, anybody can get it.
There will be no discrimination at Zany's on Wednesday night. So this is latest. This is the latest night that you're hosting at Zany's.
Yes.
I went to buy tickets to this, by the way.
Okay,
Have you already sold out?
Not yet. Not yet.
Okay. Well,
not
then,
yet.
Then
somebody... It got kind of crazy, and we threw some more tickets up. So we back in there. You got them.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I'm going to be in attendance now,
yes.
Assuming that we don't sell Josh Black out in the next 20 minutes,
yeah.
Which would be great. If
right.
you want to go see Josh Please. Black perform at Zany's,
oh, man.
I will be there. We invite all of the audience to go to this all-female comedian show that is going to be put on.
This is huge, bro, because I feel like women are underrepresented. Not only in comedy, but in most industries. And it's weird because men love women so much. Like, we love women so much. Like, I don't want to go on Instagram if there's no women. I don't go in a club if there's no women. The world would just be gross.
I don't go out with my friends until I find out how many women are going with us.
How many women are going to be? And you also, we want to get rich to impress the women. We want the fancy car, not for the guys. We want the women to think that we're cool and sexy, bro.
It's the only reason my girlfriend's with me.
Yeah, exactly. So, like, we do all that. But then it's like, we don't want them to talk or give them any opportunity. It's like, dude, she's not a German Shepherd. You know what I mean? You can't be like, ooh, I love you to death, but stay in your crate. Like, you know what I mean?
Stay.
This is crazy, bro. So I feel like I had to give women opportunity to speak, man. And I feel like, we also have this arrogance to us because we've been running the world for so long. And I feel like we think we're so cool. But, brother, Ocean was on fire last week.
Yeah.
Ocean was on fire, fam. That's us.
We've done a tremendous job running the show so far.
We did that.
Yeah, like, we did that, bro. And it's like, now we have this arrogance, like, that we're better than women. There's no way that we can be better than anybody.
Well, it's not just now. That seems to be the case for many, many years going back.
Thousands and thousands of years we've been. It's almost like a person who can't drive a stick shift and he's just driving on the interstate. And then a woman's like, "Can I drive?" He's like, "No, only men can do this." Like, fam, you don't know how to drive the stick shift. Let somebody else get in the car, bro. So anyway, I wanted to, like, you know, shed some light on women. And then also, I feel like the best way to understand women is to, you know, hear them. Like, we need to understand why they take so long getting ready. Like, I've never understood it. You know what I mean? I need to understand why every meal has to be special with my girl. Like, it's Monday afternoon. Can we just grab Chick-fil-A and go home?
What is the significance of flowers? Explain to me why it changes your mood drastically.
Yes.
Somebody please.
Exactly. These are things we need to understand. And if we don't hear from them, bro, we'll never understand it.
That's why Comedy for the Culture coming up on Wednesday night.
Oh, my God.
All female comedian cast is going to kill.
This is going to be so good. I was also raised by all women, too. So that's probably another reason why I have a little more respect. And it's just me and my mom growing up like you.
Yeah.
So I know that there's nothing a man can do that a woman can't do. So I have that. There's that layer, too. You know what I mean? So it's almost like an homage to my female family saying, hey, you raised a decent individual.
Yeah.
I'm not a misogynist freak creep. You know what I mean?
Like so many people on the internet are, because you bring up, you know, men loving women.
Yes.
And I would sometimes push back on that notion I see the way that men in sports behave towards women in sports, and nothing about the behavior that I see in my female sports reporter friends' mentions indicates to me that these people like women.
I'm going to tell you something. You can love something and not respect it.
Okay.
See, that's the key. You can love. Let's say people love their self, but then they go do crack cocaine.
There's that.
You see what I'm saying? So now you don't really love your body if you're doing crack. So if you say you love women, then you're harassing them. And then also, bro, we're tall. And I remember I've been to Atlanta, and respectfully, I've been to Atlanta, and I've seen gay dudes look at me real crazy.
Yeah.
When I'm with my girl. And I'm like, yo, chill. How y'all doing? They don't say nothing. They just look and, like, lick their lips. And I'm like, my God, I'm 6'3 and black. You know what I mean? So imagine if I'm just like some little bitty girl going to a gas station and these talk. Like, I could only imagine.
Yeah.
You know, I wouldn't even go to the gas station. I just run out of gas.
Red meat for the wolves in the club.
Exactly, bro. So that's when I really started understanding the creepiness of the male gender, bro.
Yeah.
It gets nasty out there. So all women, if you are creepy, we have a hotline now, 1-800-BUCK-RISING. We're going to be going out. This is why I'm here. That's the new campaign. We're going to start just shooting random creeps. Buck will shoot. Because he's a little whiter than me. You're not white, but you're whiter than me, so you can get away with a little bit more. You know what I mean?
Well, you know, I'm trafficking in my Egyptian heritage, which gets me a good tan and back hair. That's about all.
Yeah, if you go out in the sun, you're in trouble. But if you just winter, we're fine.
615-737-1045 is how you get in on the conversation. 615-737.
Ooh, do we get callers today?
1045. Yeah, if we want to take, should we take callers for Josh Black?
That'd be great.
God knows where that's going
to go. I know, exactly. We're going to get somebody from Pulaski. Hey, I don't like how you disrespect the KKK. I'm sorry, sir.
6-1.
I'm sorry.
And we love the good people in Pulaski.
For sure.
The non-white supremacists.
No, of course. Yes, the seven of those that are there.
615-737-1045. So, Mayor Megan Berry, former Mayor Megan Berry, is in the promotion for this comedy show.
Yeah, man.
Now, explain to me, because Mayor Megan Berry is somebody who has been a great friend to sports fans in this city during her administration.
Uh-huh.
We all know, obviously, how that went up in smoke at the end of her tenure.
Yeah.
How did you develop this relationship with one of the most prominent political figures in Nashville history?
Well, I was doing my videos, and I was looking for Nashville topics, and I had a Megan Berry topic that I was like, I'm going to tackle this. And I wrote it down one day. And it just felt kind of weird. I'm like, I felt like I was punching down almost. The jokes just felt weird. So I recorded it and didn't put it out. And then a few months later, I'm like, let me revisit that. I did it again, and it felt a little more genuine. It felt a little more like me. Put it out, and then all of a sudden, boom, everybody loved it. And I think the question was, where is Megan Berry? She ended up reaching out to me and saying, hey, bro, I love – she didn't say bro. She said the N-word. And then she's like, but no, I'm playing. That's a joke. That's a joke. Please clip that out, Lucas. But no.
It's live radio. That's not how this works, buddy. This is not one of these Instagram videos you do. We are live.
We need an editor.
Because I saw the call lines light up, and then I saw Lucas make a face. So it started already. 615-737-1045.
So anyway, yeah. So she said, hey, I love your video, man. This is awesome. I would love to answer those questions. I'm like, yo, what, you want to answer them on camera, perhaps? She said, great. And then we did the interview. That went off. And then we've just been cool ever since, man.
Yeah. Yep. That's awesome. So what is she involved at all in this comedian, this all-female lineup that's coming up on Wednesday?
In our interview, I walked up, I was talking to her, and I said, hey, you know, she's like, who are your favorite comedians? I'm naming them. And she was like, where are the women comedians? And I realized I didn't even name any. I'm like, what the hell's going on? So I started naming them off. And then she just told me how much she's into, like, she's a DJ now. So she makes a lot of female playlists, and she's just really into feminists and moving the, you know, the female agenda on a lot of you misogynists. And I love that. You know what I mean? So she loved the idea, and I was like, hey. So one day I was just promoting it, and I was like, hey, people need to come. And then I realized she was in my house. She broke into my home, pushed me out of the way, and then finished it in behalf of the women. So
that's how it goes.
Who is your favorite female comedian?
I would say probably Monique. And then recently, I guess Bonnie McFarlane, she's good. She's out of New York.
Yeah.
The Asian woman who was pregnant, she did a special on Netflix.
Oh my God.
That was fire.
I can't remember her name, but this set that she did.
I know.
About, fornication whilst going through the menstrual cycle.
Was one of the most
cringeworthy moments I've ever seen.
Ali Wong, yes. I was going to guess that.
Killed it. Good Lord.
But she's fire.
So in terms of inspiration.
Yeah.
Because we all have people that we look up to in our respective industries that we try and model our games off of, and that we try and, you know, take parts from and find ways to make it our own. Who in comedy, female or male, or, you know, anywhere in between, who do you look at and say, this is the person who I take my inspiration from or people in comedy? Because that's your business right now. Yeah. It's tough to do.
Right. It's a fact.
It's tough to do in the Me Too era, in the way that, you know, whether you agree or disagree with the buzzword or buzz term cancel culture, there's a lot of people out there gunning for you if you say the wrong thing. And in comedy, your job is to say the wrong thing.
Yep. I would say I take only techniques from comedians, not, you know, because comedy is so personal. You know, I'll notice Dave Chappelle talks about politics, or Chris Rock's talking about his family. And I'll say, okay, I need to talk about politics, or I need to talk about family. But I don't necessarily take their style as in, like, music or in a lot of other industries. I take inspiration from rappers and how they portray their vision, or their, you know, artists, painters. Like, so in my videos, like, I've been crazy on Warhol and Picasso right now. So in my videos, I'll have a bullet, a piece of paper. I'll say the topic is Buck Rising. Then I'll have 17 bullets, and I'll just write different things I want to say about them. And to me, that's my colors. Like, I'm painting, you know what I mean? So I just paint this picture of Buck Rising. It's a 6'2 picture of an Egyptian man. You see what I'm saying? And I have to paint. So I take inspiration from, like, different things outside of comedy, and that works for me. And that way I don't accidentally steal somebody's jokes or somebody's style. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So maybe
we should do that when we come back from commercial break. Can you roast me, like, on the other side? Can you cleanly roast me? That's the line that line that we draw.
Yeah, here. I believe so. I think we can cook up something.
I say, this is the thing that I'm here for, and the audience will be here for as well. Yeah. The praise is pouring in.
Somebody just pulled over, clapping right now.
Yeah,
get him. That's,
I mean, this is literally. You're getting ready to do what the callers do to me for 3 hours a day, Monday through Friday.
That's beautiful. So, Lucas, has anybody called us yet? We got on the way back. I see seven Pulaski numbers on here. That's great. Those are the seven people I was talking about.
We've gotten calls. Nobody wanting to go on it. Yeah, what did the call? What, I saw you take a couple back there. Are you good? Are you okay?
Yeah, we had a Zay, and before I could ask Zay what he wanted to chat about, he dropped on us. So.
A black man, I guess. Zay, that's a black name, isn't it?
I mean, I will
Xavier.
It could be.
Yes, exactly. Black man, call back, man. What's going on?
615-737-1045 is how you get involved. All right, so we do a lot. Now, how involved are you in the local sports world right now, because you are a mainstay. You are a staple of the Nashville SC community.
Let's go.
In a way that I was not anticipating at all. Yeah. But they have, you have really found a way to get supporters, and that's what they're called, I'm told, at soccer games.
Thanks.
Supporters in on the action and literally, legitimately have gained social media traction. By the way, you can follow this man, at Sir Joshua Black.
Yeah.
On the socials to make sure that you're getting all of the content that he is producing. The man is a nonstop content machine.
Thanks.
So what? How are you trying to further your reach on the sports world? Because I don't did you go in intending to do this, or was this just a happy accident?
A little bit of both. I went to the Nashville soccer games, and I was like, wow, it seems there was a lot of Hispanics there, a lot of gay flags. Yeah. It was a lot of kids. It was just inclusive, and I'm not used to that in sports. I'm like, hold on, this seems like something I could kind of vibe with.
Sure.
And I loved the game. The soccer was great as well. outside of the politics of it, the game was pretty cool. I was like, you know what? I can do this. So anyway, the people were cool. Long story short, I came on your show and I said I have a campaign to be the Nashville Soccer Club ambassador. The people got behind it. All the support groups said we need this, and I'm gonna keep it honest with you. They've been slow poking. So now,
oh, really?
I'm on here to I'm grinding my gears. Is that what it is? No, that grinded my gears.
Yeah,
I'm not gonna grind my own gears, Lucas.
Right,
keep you it clean. I'm not gonna do that on the air, at least. So well, listen,
especially not since we're on camera now.
There's that. Don't do that. Get the waist up. But listen, so
nobody get tubing around here, please.
So I told him, I said, hey, we need to do this, and I have people on the inside that are saying, hey, they loved what they saw. They're gonna reach out to you. I'm like, hey, son, the season's almost over.
That's right.
And the price goes up next season.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, and then ironically, other teams have now hit me up because of the video. See, now they might miss their flight.
Yeah.
I reached out to you. I was trying to be nice to you. I was trying to say, hey, this will be cool for you, and you're slow poking. But I think a lot of the people in the NSC inner world, like the administration, they're not from here.
Yes.
So they don't, it's almost like, if you've never been to Nashville and then somebody says you want hot chicken, they're like, no, I'd rather get Popeyes. You don't get it.
Yeah.
It hits different. So I think they're understanding. They'll probably hit me up. But, I mean, like I said, there are other teams that are respectfully way bigger now reaching out to me wanting me to be an ambassador exclusively. So now you got to fight, and there's going to be a price war now.
Well, this is exactly how it should be. There should be a bidding war for the services of Josh Black.
That's a fact.
This is a hot commodity at this point.
That's a fact. So I could go from football to football.
Oh.
You never know.
So it's just a happy accident that he happens to find himself on the flagship home of the Tennessee Titans.
Hey, 104.5.
The Zone.
Ooh. Is that you on there?
Oh, God, no.
Oh, it sounded like
Buck voices all of our images.
104.5, The Zone.
No, I mean, I
could do that.
Well, it's in order to do the imaging around here, I would have to sound like I'm throwing up into the microphone, and that's not something that I want to do.
104, The Zone.
It's the worst part of sports talk radio, man. The cheese.
Oh, yeah.
615-737-1045. So, to that end, now this is a very influential show, Josh.
Let's
so
go.
We are publicly applying pressure to now the Nashville Soccer Club.
Come on, man.
If you were to do something for the Tennessee Titans,
ooh,
what would this look like? In what capacity would you want to represent the voice of the fan for this local professional football team?
One, I would I'm going to represent the grit of the city.
Oh.
I want to represent the grit. You know, we got some rich people here. That's cool. I like their boats and all that. That's great.
Does boats mean you're rich? That's
yeah, if you're not renting them. I've been on a boat, but I don't have nowhere close to the money these guys in Brentwood and Green Hills have. So, you know, there's a lot of bread out here in Tennessee. We know that. Wilson County, I think, is the richest county in the nation. So we got some bread out here. I'm not necessarily representing them when I come to the game. I'm representing the construction worker.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? The radio personality. You know what I mean? The dude working at McDonald's who's about ready to quit.
It's a bad time to tell you I have a boat.
Oh, you know what?
No, I'm kidding.
I am no longer representing Buck Rising. I'm representing them, man.
Fine.
And I want to just add some locality, if that's a word, to this. You know what I mean? I want to be, you know, if that were to happen, if that were, you know, hypothetically in the works. And also, I might have to do it with a Kaepernick jersey on. You never know. never know.
The opening video for the Tennessee Titans, Josh on a knee.
I'm just on a knee with a big fro. Like, what is going on? I thought we were past this.
No, that's it. Trust me, I do this 3 hours a day. That never stops.
Oh,
That in particular.
Oh, that's good,
never
man.
Never stops. So
that's
coming good. Up next,
uh-oh,
comedian Josh Black, whom you can see live and in person at his all-female comedy special,
ooh,
Zanies, be there. We will be. Josh will be. You need to be. You can get tickets online at Zany's website. But coming up next, we're going to put this man to the test. Uh-oh. It's not that hard to roast me. But Josh Black is going to have about three and a half minutes, maybe a little longer, to figure out the best strategy to roast me. That's what we're doing on the other side. That's Josh Black. I'm Buck Rising. This is 104.5 The Zone. Josh Black is in studio, and he gets the people going. That's what we're doing during this 11 o'clock hour before we begin our Titans training camp preview in earnest in the noon hour. Lucas, if you could pop Josh's microphone for me so I can hear him, like I can hear him at Zany's on Wednesday night for the all-female lineup, the comedy show hosted by Josh Black, the latest in comedy for the culture.
We're here,
tickets available now at Zany's website. 615-737-1045 if you want to get involved. All right, we got Kanye West. We got Gardner Minshew.
Wow.
We got a roast, a mini roast of me. What do you want to start with?
Let's go. Is this real name Gardner?
It is indeed Gardner. Gardner Minshew the third. So there are
There are three of them.
There are three. Are three Gardner.
That's disgusting.
Especially when you look at him.
Yeah, I mean, that's crazy. And Lucas was telling me that the man was quoted to say, I don't want to have a bowel movement.
Yes.
Because number two is not an option.
Yes. Oh, we have the audio, in fact.
We do.
Let's play that.
So he was on Chris Long's Greenlight podcast talking about competing with the number one overall pick for the starting quarterback position of the Jacksonville Jags. And this is what Gardner Minshew had to say.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you this, man. In preparation for the competition, I haven't taken a in weeks. It's not an option for me. Number two is not an option. I'll tell you that. I feel like anybody that comes in and thinks that's an option, that's what they're going to get.
Ooh,
you know what I'm saying? So,
What are they going to get? Intestinal backup?
Yeah,
I don't know what he meant by that.
What is he talking about?
Don't tackle him. It's gonna. That stuff's getting everywhere. That's crazy.
Gardner Minshew's gonna be at the bottom of the league in terms of sacks taken because everybody's afraid that they're gonna jar something loose.
I would want to hug that man. I do love the confidence of the competition, but go use the bathroom, fam.
What are you doing?
It ain't that serious.
He's lying, right? There's no way that he hasn't taken a dump in 2 weeks.
I mean, there's medicine to do it. You know, there's stuff that like the opposite of a laxative.
Yeah.
Stool hardener, if you will.
I don't think that exists, does it?
What is the purpose of that?
Maybe to make your life
miserable.
Let's say you're too loose. You might need to get a stool hardener.
Maybe just eat an orange. Get some fiber in your life.
So this man is sickening to me. It's gross. I actually had an ulcer before. You ever had an ulcer?
No, but I hear they are uncomfortable.
It was bad, man. My doctor said I can't drink. I hate to say this happened yesterday.
Oh, what?
I didn't want to bring that here.
Shut the hell up.
I didn't know if it was an ulcer for real. I just said my stomach was killing me.
Yeah.
I had a show the other day, and I had to, like, sit on the stool, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And they thought I was, like, being intimate. I was like, I'm about to die. And I had to do like 40 minutes. I'm like, geez. Left to go straight to the hospital. He's like, yeah, there's acid buildup or something. You need your pH is off. I mean, but I've been eating horribly lately, though.
Sure.
I mean, it's been probably 20 Chick-fil-A's in a row. I live right by a Chick-fil-A.
No, there's no way 20 in a row.
It's just right there, bro.
Meals or days?
Both. So the next Chick-fil-A is sponsoring the next show.
Yeah.
And my funeral, apparently. So now I can't drink. For a minute.
Sure.
I can't drink. I have to watch out for acidic foods, no fried foods. You know, I'm black, so that's racist itself.
It's the entirety of the North Nashville menu.
Exactly. I can't eat Slimming Huskies. I can't eat Prince's Chicken, but I had a juice this morning.
All right. Now who's the one getting gentrified?
Yeah, exactly.
You're out here at a juice bar?
Josh Stop. Yeah. I'm passing by Slimming Huskies to get like a yogurt. They're like, "What is this man?"
And I'll take a fruit parfait, please. So we got calls for Josh Black. We'll get to the mini roast here in just a second. Justin is in Nashville. He's got a question for Josh Black. What's up, Justin?
Justin, this is Justin. Josh, man, so proud of you, man. Love to see it. Love this day to see my favorite local before the broadcaster on with my favorite local comedian. My question is for Mr. Sir Joshua Black is, what's the most memorable Metro high school or middle school game that you have been to? What was that crazy moment? I know I've been to a couple of Pearl Colton games where we're focused on the game, and there's a whole Crips and Bloods thing going on in the corner of the stadium. So what is something that you have seen at a Metro game growing up? Because I know that's a staple of us local Nashvillians, especially North local Nashvillians growing up. So what's something special that you've seen?
Thank you, Justin.
Yeah, thank you, Justin, man. I actually, it was me. I was in this memory. I was a hooper, and it was a halftime. They had a slam dunk contest for the first time. I went to Hillwood, and I was balling, son. I'm talking about, I was averaging 30-piece. I was hooping.
Okay.
So I was out there, and it was the slam dunk contest, and I had to think of something, because I had hops, but I couldn't, like, do nothing too crazy. And my hands were small, pause. And so I had to, like, cuff the ball and cock it back. So I didn't want to do that. So I told my boy Ryan Westbrook, I said, bro, you stay in the crowd, you're going to throw me the oop out of nowhere. He said, you going to catch it? I said, yeah, I'm going to catch it. So, I'm running to the guy. So I started half court. And then I have the ball. And I just throw the ball. And I start running to the goal. And the crowd's like, oh, my God. What is he doing? Why is he running to the ball? And then out of nowhere, Ryan Westbrook threw it out the thing. And I caught it. Ah, missed it. but it was so impeccable. Such a brilliant idea, might I add, Justin, that no one has done this yet.
Yeah.
Now, after this show and you see LeBron and them do it next year, you're going to know who did it first, Soulja Boy style. But so I said, run it back. And the crowd was still hyped just because the idea was insane. And they were like, who threw that? You know what I mean? Because you're not focused.
Just come out of the crowd.
Just floating out of the bleachers.
And he was pissed because it was so perfect, too. Yeah. But it was just too much for me. It was just too. And then also, catching the oop is crazy when, like, you have that much speed and, like, I can't see the goal.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, normally, if you're in a normal setting, the ball's coming from a pretty short distance, but I'm running full speed from half court. I really can't see the goals. I have to catch this and then turn around. It was spooking me. So we ran it back. I caught it, dunked it, won a slam dunk contest as like a sophomore, and that's probably the biggest memory. Then my second biggest memory, I dunked on a guy from Pearl, a dark-skinned gentleman. Forgot his name. It's irrelevant, clearly, but they were in a 2-3 zone, bro, and they were passing the ball in from behind the goal. So it's our ball, and they were in a 2-3 zone, and this man had his back turned to me. Like facing the out of bounds.
Yeah.
I'm running down the middle. They throw the oop. I jump up. My knee hits his shoulder. He jumps up. He throws me way up. And I'm eye level with the goal, slammed it on him. And then he then went on to threaten my whole family.
Oh, really?
He went to Pearl Cone. Okay. So, yeah, I mean, this is goes without saying, but he's like, I'll kill you and your whole family. And I was like, I have to respect that. I mean,
respectfully, I will slaughter you and everyone you love.
I just ruined your career in basketball. That's the only right you could kill my father. But so, Justin, those are my memories, man. And yeah, it was just beautiful, man. I love playing basketball. Then I went to Hillwood. I had to wear number 42. I didn't like that.
It's an unflattering number.
Yeah, who wears 42?
Jerry Stackhouse did it.
Al Horford.
That's gross, man. But I was tall, so they had to like give us the big number jerseys. I'm like, give me a 1 or a 2-3. Buck, what was your number growing up?
Oh, well, I was a defensive lineman. It was 66, so nothing sexy.
Oh, gee. They got to start putting some respect on the lineman. Where's the numbers? I can't wear number 66.
Well, it was like either that or like wear number 19. And I was like, I got to be a hell of a lot better than I am to wear number 19.
Well, I had a Bruce Matthews jersey.
Yeah.
A little 74.
Yeah.
That was cool.
No, but 70, like there are certain lineman numbers.
Yeah.
Like if I was 71 out there.
Yeah, yeah. Ooh. Or a Warren Sapp, 90. But was he a lineman? What was he?
Warren Sapp was a defensive tackle.
Okay, so that's 99. I'll take a 99.
Yeah, yeah. You got to pancake some people if you're going to wear those numbers.
Ooh, when you get up in the 90s, you got to be like Javon Curse.
Yeah. And I'm decidedly not Javon Curse.
You're better than Javon Curse.
I'm quite literally the opposite of the man called the freak. It's a tough scene.
The virgin.
615-737. I don't know why we're giving out the number. Our time with Josh Black is about to come to an end. You got to tell me what the hell I'm supposed to make, though, of Kanye West sitting, living in the Atlanta Falcons stadium. For those of you who are uninitiated to the culture, Kanye West hosts a album release party for an album that is not yet finished.
Wow.
At Mercedes-Benz Stadium in Atlanta.
Yeah.
He's dressed with pantyhose over his head, wearing a bubble jacket in the middle of July. And so he goes and it breaks all of the streaming records for Apple because, of course. But now, Josh, I'm reading on TMZ this morning that he is living out the remainder of the time that it takes him to complete the album in the stadium. Mm-hmm. I have covered games in Mercedes-Benz Stadium.
Yeah.
I would live in Mercedes-Benz Stadium because they have a self-serve ice cream machine, and it took every ounce of restraint I had not to just pull down the lever and stick my mouth under it. Fact. But to live in a stadium is one of the most Kanye West things. What the hell am I just to make of Kanye in general?
Well, I have a saying that I say all the time. It's called streets you gotta eat.
Yeah.
And that pretty much means there are scammers out here, Book. And some of them are rich and popular. Some of them live in their mother's house, and they'll take all the money off your credit card. But the scamming is real, and the streets have to eat. So he told the streets, he said, hey, I'm having an album. I'm going to do an album release party on Friday. So, of course, you buy the ticket. It's in Atlanta. I got to be there. You get there, the album's not done. He didn't plan on it being done. It's in July in Atlanta. This man's in a bubble coat.
That's right.
And pantyhose.
Yep.
He's pretty much telling you, I'm robbing you. He literally robbed these people.
Yeah, but at least Floyd Mayweather's more honest, where he gets up at a press conference afterwards and say, I'm the best bank robber alive.
That's he's just wandering around during an Atlanta United soccer game.
That's
like
fact, so,
someone's just doing a double take, like, because Kanye West is wearing a pantyhose next to them in the upper deck.
Imagine, like, if you're at the crib and all of a sudden there's a soccer game going upstairs. So you have to, he's living there. That just happens to be a game in the next room. So he's like, oh, I guess I'll go to the game.
Is he wearing the pantyhose in the room by himself?
He's taking that in the shower. Bro, take the pantyhose off, fam. It's not fresh.
That's some put the lotion on the skin type situation.
Yeah, it's insane, bro. So I don't know what's going on with Kanye. I haven't been a fan for a while, man. You know, I have respect for the Christians, but that last album he did was a Christian album. I was just like, that. You can't just have just because it's Christian don't mean it's good, bro.
Yeah.
You're not Kirk Franklin just because you do a Christian album. So I'm not a fan of him anymore. Hopefully he gets himself together. And, you know, he had a beautiful wife.
Well, he did.
He did.
He did.
But she was there. So I don't know if she's trying to get him back or is she scared he's going to tell it all.
Honestly, and we have to go here, but honestly, I think it's the other way around.
Ooh.
If I was Kanye, I'm trying to get back with Kim.
Ooh, yeah.
This woman is about to be...
That's
and
real.
Is a billionaire.
That's real. But you know how it is, man. I don't know. You've been the girl so long, she doesn't look the same to you as she does to everybody else. Is that true?
I'm certain there's degree. Well, I won't say that publicly. Are you out of your mind?
I think I'm done now.
What are you doing?
But, I mean, it's like, well, I say it to say, like, if you're around something all the time, it might not be as special. Like, if you're driving a Lamborghini every day, all day for 5 years, and then I see a Lamborghini, I'm like, oh, a Lamborghini. You're like, yeah, it's a Lamborghini. I love the Lamborghini, but it's just a Lamborghini. So I think after a while, men get ungrateful. You're just thinking, yeah, she looks great, but I mean, yeah, she looks great. Then you lose it. Then you're just like, oh, my God, what was I doing?
You know how you're supposed to, you know how you're going to get reminded of how grateful you need to be?
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be comedy for the culture.
Ooh.
On Wednesday night. Ooh. Zanies.
That's it, baby.
Be there. Josh Black hosting.
Oh, my God.
All female lineup.
If you're not there, you're sexist. So if that's what you want to tell the streets, that's on you. If you're a woman and you don't go to this and you're in Nashville, you're going against the code. That's not real. If somebody black throws a show, I got to be there. If somebody that, I don't know, looks like Drake grew up in Nashville and Buck Rising's not there, that's disrespectful to the code, bro.
It hurts.
You know what I mean? He has to go to where his people are. And I have to go to where my people are, and you have to go to where your people are. So if you're a woman, we need you there. And then, fellas, I've seen the list, the lineup. We're probably at, like, we got, like, 50 tickets left, and majority is women. It's going to be some baddies out there. So I don't know if you just got divorced or if, you know, you've been, you know, chronically masturbating and you can't find anything, you come out to the show, bro.
Which we ran the risk of Josh Black doing earlier in studio.
Yes,
exactly. We will come back and we will do our Titans training camp preview. That's a transition.
Oh, I love it.
Josh,
yes.
It's always good to see you,
bro. Absolutely, bro. Until next time.
I'm Buck Rising. This is 104.5 The Zone.
104.5.